Luke chapter 7, spoke to you this morning on many proofs. Tonight, we'll consider one thing. Let me read some scriptures. I may have you to turn to others, but first, let's look at Luke chapter 7, verse 18. And the disciples of John told him of all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent unto the Lord, saying, Are you he that cometh, or look we for another? And when the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist hath sent unto thee, saying, Art thou he that cometh, or look we for another? In that hour he cured many of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many that were blinded he bestowed sight. And he answered and said unto them, Go and tell John the things which you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good tidings preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall find no occasion of stumbling in me. Notice, everything isn't cut and dry. I told you about the disciples being told by Christ that he, when he rose from the dead, would meet them in Galilee. It meant nothing to them. And John the Baptist has heard the Father speak from heaven, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. But when things do not go according to the pattern that you think they should, then doubt can arise. But here, I'm reading to you the claim that Jesus Christ made. John said, Are you the coming one? And then he told him that he was and demonstrated it by these miracles. Now let's look at John chapter 5. Verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, even so gave he to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour cometh in which all that are in the tomb shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. Now, look at chapter 2. Our Savior has just driven all of the mercenaries, the covetous, out of the temple. And verse 18. The Jews, 2:18 of John, therefore answered and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now there are others, but let's just read the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. Perhaps next week I will tell you more about chapter 15. But let's look at 1 Corinthians 15 right now. Verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? You see, even among those that are a part of the church at Corinth, some say there is no resurrection of the dead. Verse 13. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, neither has Christ been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then is our preaching vain, your faith also is vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we witness of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. And look at verse 32. If, after the manner of men, I fought the beast at Ephesus, what does it profit me? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Now, let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the faithfulness, the openness of your Holy Scriptures. We rejoice that thou dost see plainly the things that are right and wrong and black and white, and you acknowledge them, our God. You would not have us to carry a lie in our right hand. And so we pray from what we've read tonight, and what you shall enable your servant to speak, that we shall understand what is right and wrong, what is truth, that we shall understand the importance of one thing, our God, and that one thing, the resurrection of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So by thy Spirit, let that truth be impressed upon our hearts. We thank you for the blessing of the day. We are glad, Father, that this morning some came and remembered thy Son. We offered up the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. We thought on thy Son. We broke bread. We drank the fruit of the vine. We thank you for that. And then we fellowshipped and burdened the Scriptures. And again, we desire that your lamb and sheep be fed. So grant that, we pray. You know our sins. We confess them. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. This morning, I told you about the many infallible proofs, but all of those many proofs were about one thing. And that was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what God tells us is not, as we read the Bible, to decide whether Jesus was a good man, whether he was like John the Baptist or Jeremiah or one of the prophets, whether he performed miracles, whether he spoke prophetical things concerning his coming kingdom. But the only thing that really was any importance was this. Was Christ raised from the dead? Never forget that. When they came and told our Savior that he was like John the Baptist or Jeremiah or one of the prophets, well, that would be a compliment. If you told me I was like one of the prophets, I would say, thank you, thank you. The Lord Jesus brushes all of that aside and says, but whom do you say that I am? And when Peter said, the Christ, the Son of the living God, then the Savior said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. It is not that we give Jesus a place, but we have to give him the preeminent place. And if we have given him a preeminent place among men, but the one fact of his death and resurrection is not true, then he deserves no preeminence among men, because they have died, and Jesus has died, and that's the end of it. And I thought about this, in our brother's prayer, he thanked God for the beautiful day, for the birds, the sunshine. You realize, if what I told you this morning is not true, that every beautiful picture that you could ever paint, above it is a thick black cloud, and it stays there forever. You understand that? No matter what the philosophy of the world is, if Christ has not died and been raised from the dead, then there is, as it says in Ecclesiastes, when the clouds return after the rain. If you have a storm, and then the clouds blow away, and the sunshine breaks through, that's a good thing. But if you have one storm, and then the clouds return after the rain, that's another storm. And then clouds return after the rain. And there is no such thing as a beautiful day. There is no such thing as permanent joy unless Christ has died and risen again. And the philosophy that you have and the feeling, you say, why, it is a natural thing. It speaks about some who in the last days have a kind of love that is unnatural, not having natural affection. But if Christ is not risen from the dead, then what one psychiatrist tells you is as good as another, and what one philosopher tells you is as good as another, and there is no one saying this is right and this is wrong. And in the world, it is filled with philosophies of life. There are the Stoics, there are the Epicureans, there are the Hedonists, there are those that inflict bodily punishment upon themselves, but all of that is no consequence to God. And this is what God says, and I rejoice in it. He said, if Christ is not raised from the dead, if there is no resurrection from the dead, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. The Bible told you that. Why? Because if you eat and drink and enjoy yourself and fulfill every lust of the heart, that's perfectly in order. Because there's no God, there's no moral pattern that can be given to follow. And so to eat and drink and lust and do everything that is vile of the flesh, you cannot say it's wrong. You say there is something, your something is absolutely worthless. There is either this teaching of the Word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Word, in the world, for this is right. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Who says it's right? If there is no God who sent his Son to tell us what was right and wrong, if he did not die and rise again, the Lord Jesus was the biggest liar of all that have lived upon the face of the earth. For this reason, did you hear what I read to you, that the Lord Jesus said that he had done and was able to do? John the Baptist wanted to know if Jesus was that promised one. And the Savior, and this is what we have to determine, in that hour when John came and asked, he performed many cures. And then he told about all the various afflictions of man, the blind, the brokenhearted, the dead are raised. He told of all of those things that he did. And he said, blessed is he that has no reason to be stumbled because of me. Now, the most profound thing that he ever said was this, and I cannot comprehend it, and I'm still startled when I read it today. Listen to what he said. He said, the hour cometh when all that are dead and in the tombs shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall come forth. Who ever heard of such a thing? This man, Jesus, that was so weary that he was asleep in a boat when a storm was taking place on the Lake of Galilee, he said, the day is coming when everybody that's in the tomb shall hear my voice and come forth. Who can believe such a thing? But he said something even grander than that. Those in John 2 to whom he said it did not understand what he was talking about, but we do. They said, give us a sign that you come in and cleanse this temple and presume upon the duties of the priesthood. The Lord Jesus said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now think of what he said. He has looked at every sickness, every disease, every affliction of man that is in the world. And he said, I can deal with that. And then he says concerning all that are in the tombs, those that have suffered and died in their affliction, he says, I can offer my voice and every one of them shall come forth. And then he says this, and not only so, but you put me to death. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now just one thing. One thing. If he died and rose again, then there is no such thing for the Christian as a black cloud. There are clouds, but above that cloud is the sunshine. But if what he said was not true, then there is no such thing as a cloudless sky. Above what we say are clouds, are even thicker clouds. So, the claims of Jesus Christ are wonderful, and they thrill the soul. And there was one other scripture that I wanted to read to you, and this is what we shall consider now, and then illustrate what our Savior said. It's this. Not only did he claim to be able to do things in the physical realm, because notice, if you are blind, if you are deaf, if you are dead and he can raise you, that's something spiritually, physically, he can do. But spiritually, he said that he had power on earth to forgive sin. And so that's another claim. And when he said that, he was challenged secretly, because when he said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee, some said, why, this man blasphemes. Who can forgive sins but God only? And the Lord Jesus casually said this, that you may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sin, I will now demonstrate it. Because, which is easier, for me to cure this man, or to say your sins are forgiven? He said, but I'm going to prove to you that I have authority on earth to forgive sin. He said, take up your bed and walk. And the man took up his bed and walked. And they were filled with consternation. They did not know what to do. Why? Because the Lord Jesus said, I make a claim, and now I have proved that that claim, which you say is blasphemous, I prove that it's true. Now this. If you read in Galatians chapter 3, you read this concerning the death that the Lord Jesus Christ died. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And every Jew could rightly say this. This man, Jesus of Nazareth, is a curse of God, because the scriptures that he quoted to us so much, the scriptures themselves say, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, you must understand that what they said was without dispute. Do not contradict them in the least, that if Christ was crucified and was not raised from the dead, he was cursed of God, and that is what we have to acknowledge. And for that reason, if we have been teaching the world that Jesus died and rose again, and we put a false hope in the hearts of men that Jesus has forgiven their sins, and Jesus himself is still dead, the Apostle Paul says, if Christ be not raised, you are still in your sin. And Paul said, the things that I've been telling you, and all the other apostles, they are lies, and we are false witnesses. So, what does it mean? It means that everything he says must be verified, and I've shown you how he went about verifying those things. And the last thing, the ultimate thing concerning himself was in John 2. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now, here is what is likely to be a stumbling block to us and to his disciples. When the Lord Jesus was nailed to the cross, his enemies walked before him and said, ha ha, thou that destroyest the temple and raises it up in 3 days, it said, come down from the cross and we will believe you. You're the Christ of God, come down from the cross, and that will be the proof that we are looking for. Now, the temptation was for Christ to do that, to show them that he had the power to do it. But for Christ to come down from the cross would be the eternal condemnation of all that he had said about the truth he proclaimed about the Father. Why? Because he said in Zechariah, it is written, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. He said, this has to take place. The sword is lifted, and the Father must smite the Son. And when the Savior is about to be arrested, and Peter would pull out the sword and save him from arrest, the Savior says this, put your sword into the sheath. They that take the sword shall perish by the sword. Do you not understand that right now I could beseech my Father and he would send me more than 12 legions of angels? He says, but if I did that, how would the scripture be fulfilled? And so it was only one thing. With all that Christ ever did, if when he came to the end of his life, he had escaped as he did so many times, they wanted to lay hands on him, but he would go out through their midst. If when he was upon the cross, he miraculously came down from the cross. If when they were going to arrest him, he besought the Father, and the Father sent more than 12 legions of angels and rescued the Son, then all that he taught about being the promised Messiah in the Old Testament would be false. There was one thing that had to occur. It was the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he died and then rose again, then everything that I have told you and the apostles have told you and everything that is written in this book turned out to be true. Why? Because the ultimate promise of God has been fulfilled. One other thing. Inasmuch as Christ has said, destroy this tabernacle and in 3 days I will raise it up, and he did it, then I can trust him when he says, the hour cometh when all that are in the tombs shall hear his voice and come forth. Why? Because every other thing that he was sent into the world to accomplish, he accomplished. Every miracle he said he could perform, he did perform. And concerning the things he sent back as proofs to John the Baptist, all of these things were verified by the miracles that he did. And so there was only one more. He said, it is the miracle of love. It is the miracle of my giving myself into the Father's hands. It is the miracle of loving my own who are in the world, loving them unto the end. It is showing forth God's love. God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's not that he taught us. It's not that he healed us of our diseases. It is that he died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he says, this is the commendation of God's love. And this is the way that the Father is glorified. Father, let this cup pass from me. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. And the only way that the Father could be glorified was for Christ being obedient unto death, yea, the death of the cross. And this is what he said as he spoke to them in Luke chapter 24. He said, ought not the Christ who had suffered all these things and to enter into his glory? And the scriptures teach two things, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And it has to be that way. And nothing can turn the Savior away from that path that inevitably led to the cross. It was not that he who is the resurrection and the life should raise you from the dead, but should himself enter into death and be raised by the glory of the Father from the dead. And that is the one thing that is of paramount importance. Now, I say that he has to be able to raise from the dead for this reason. Suppose this Savior, of whom I told you, demonstrated when he was on earth that if a man was deaf, the Lord Jesus could stick his fingers in his ears and miraculously heal him. That if a man were blind, he could anoint his eyes and give him sight. That if he had leprosy, he could touch that leper and heal him. What good is it if that's all he could do? That the Lord Jesus could heal sick people, but his ability ended there. What good is the Lord Jesus Christ? Because I only know of two who have escaped death, Enoch and Elijah. And therefore, the leper that he healed is going to die, and the deaf man is going to die, and the blind man is going to die, and then Jesus is somebody for this world that helps you in this life. But Paul makes this confession. It says, if we have only hope in Christ in this life, we are all men most miserable, most pitiable. And that's what I want you to understand. That our hope is not in Christ in this life only. That He helps live a Christian life. That He gives joy in our heart and we do the right thing. I tell you, it's worthless. It's a lie. If Christ is not able to raise from the dead, then He is of no eternal value to me. Because as long as He is here in the world, and I can get to Him, and as the leper said, Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. And the Lord Jesus said, I will be thou made clean. As long as I can keep getting to Him when I'm sick, and He heals me, that's fine. But then when He's not around and I die, Jesus is of no value to me anymore. And at the same time, if the Lord Jesus can do everything physically for me in this world, but cannot forgive me my sins, then I am ill prepared to go into the next world and face the God of heaven in all my sins. Look at what Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And you mean that Jesus let me die, and then I have to stand before my Maker, and I tell my Maker, when I was on earth, I was sick and Your Son healed me. I was sick and Your Son taught me. And I'm still in my sins. Of what value is the death of Jesus Christ? If the Lord Jesus died, but His death was not set aside, the decision that man pronounced upon Him and the judgment that man pronounced upon Him was not set aside by an act of God, then all of these things that I have been teaching and the apostles have taught you and the scriptures teach, they are false. That Christianity is one big lie. Acknowledge it. Everything stands or falls on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And I'm speaking of bodily resurrection. There are those, and I become suspicious when they talk about the spirit of Jesus lives on. His teachings live on. His example lives on. The Bible says that Jesus lives on. When He rose from the dead, they looked at Him. They were terrified. He said, look, here I am. Don't you see that a spirit have not flesh and bones as you behold me having? So when that happened, it means this, that this one who was accursed, had he died and not been raised from the dead, suddenly, yes, he was accursed. Christ has been made a curse for us. For Christ also at once suffered for sins, not His own, but for our sins. The just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And therefore, if His death and resurrection brings me to God, then He can do something for me in my body now, in this life. And He can do something for my soul now, in this life. And also in the life to come. He can present me faultless before His Father with unspeakable joy, and there are no sins, and I can look into the face of God, as the psalmist says, I shall behold thy face in glory. I shall be satisfied when I awake with beholding thy form, with the possession of thy form. That's the thing that I'm looking forward to, seeing God's face in righteousness and having the form of God, being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, once the last thing was accomplished, that He was put to the dead, to death, He was pronounced a curse, and then God raised Him from the dead, then the latter part of Philippians 2 is read. His death was not in disobedience and was a proof of His blasphemy toward God, but He was obedient unto death, yet the death of the cross. And because His death was an act of obedience, a manifestation of glorifying God, it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given unto Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Things in this world, the world to come, Jesus Christ, by His being raised from the dead, is exalted to God's right hand, and that's the only thing that matters. And so, if you are conceding this doctrine and that doctrine, and today, what is so pitiful is this, that when those that have studied the Bible a little bit, we Christians who used to know the Bible do not know it anymore, and we're not able to give them an answer. But if we are grounded in the Word of God, if you know these scriptures that I've given you and can set them before these who bring these criticisms to us, then they are no match for us. We read in Psalm 119, I'm wiser than all my teachers because my precepts are the things that I rely upon. This is what gives me understanding. And for that reason, you look at the scripture and you're not taken aback that Jesus Christ died. Your hope is not given up and abandoned because Jesus Christ died. But you expect his death and you expect his resurrection. And you go to that mountain in Galilee where he told you he was going to be. But that takes a work of God in the heart. You remember? Twice it says this. You'll find it both in Matthew and in Mark. That the Lord Jesus told them that he was going to die. And after he was raised from the dead, he would meet them at the given place, at the appointed place, when he rose from the dead. And it meant nothing. And that is why I told you this morning, and I still find it so difficult to grasp, that the Savior, again and again, proof after proof, had to send to his disciples to get them to believe that he was risen from the dead in the first place, and finally to be obedient enough to go to Galilee, to that mountain, in the second place. And so the only thing that matters is this, whether the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. Had the Lord Jesus escaped death, that would have been our condemnation. Had the Lord Jesus died but not been raised from the dead, that would have been our condemnation. But if Christ died and rose again, that is our salvation. So, look, this is what he's done. Every challenge of disease, he has met that challenge. And finally, the challenge of death, he has met that challenge. And the thing that no man has ever yet escaped, dying and raising himself from the dead, he committed it to the Father's hand, and it says, he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. But the Lord Jesus said, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment received I of my Father. And evidently, he left it in his Father's hand, and he said, Father, on that third day, I want you to raise me from the dead. And God raised him from the dead and gave him glory. And then everything in his life falls into place. And I can believe every miracle in the Bible. Why? Because of this. If I see that Lord Jesus can give hearing to a deaf man, I can believe that about him. And that he can open blind eyes, I can believe that about him. Because the Bible speaks in 1 Corinthians 12, there are gifts of healing. Not all those that had these miraculous gifts could heal any disease, but there were gifts. But the Lord Jesus mentioned all the challenging diseases and obstacles before men. And the Lord Jesus said, this and this and this. And also, he met the greatest obstacle of all. The thing that is spoken of in the book of Job as the king of terrors, as death. That has been victorious over every man's faith, too. And unless the Lord Jesus comes back again, it's going to be victorious over us. But if I know now is Christ risen, then I can go and meet it in Galilee and without any doubt know that what he has spoken in the past has been true because it's all been confirmed. But unless he died and rose again, none of it would be true. The Bible says, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And that is the pattern from the Old Testament to the New. And so for that reason, when someone comes and says, do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? Unless you are prepared to abandon Christianity, you say, it is my hope. It is the foundation upon which I rest. It is my salvation. If Christ be not raised, then you are yet in your sin. But when the Bible says, now is Christ risen, then you can believe everything that you've read as to the past of Christ. And you can believe everything that Christ has prophesied concerning the future. And then I hope the time comes, God help it in me, when he who look at death and be become afraid, just like John the Baptist wondered about Christ. This is what can happen. When the Apostle Paul looked at death, he said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? If that thing is possible, then I know that I have been convinced, and those seven appearances in Judea have prepared me to go and meet Christ in Galilee. And only if the Spirit of God can make those truths true to us, and they are true whether we believe them or not, but only when they become true in our heart will we have boldness. And if not, as it says, some who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. If we can get rid of the fear of death, and as you get older, you think about it more. Young people, well, it'll come someday. But then, I am now 72, and I'm having refreshment with two sisters that are 93 and 97. Certainly, they have to think about dying sometime. And dear Brother Cramhall, somebody said, I think he has an earnest of the resurrection. He's 100 years old. Some people are that way. But unless our Savior comes, I, the young man of 72, shall die, and John Cramhall shall die, and Methuselah, 969 years, he died. And therefore, it's appointed unto men once to die. And only those who are alive and belong to Christ when he comes shall escape death. But it doesn't concern us anymore. Why? Because if I were one on earth and I belonged to Christ and I contracted some horrible disease, but I knew that Christ could heal me, and I could go to him and say, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole, then I have nothing to worry about in this life. But Christ is here and will to heal me. He can. And not only that, come Lord Jesus, but he does not come for me, but I die and go to him, then I have nothing to worry about. Because he was sent from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and then the rest of us shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. That's the remarkable thing upon God. So, if Christ fulfilled the scriptures by dying and was raised from the dead, then every disease that controls man, he is able to cure. And the spiritual need of the forgiveness of sin, he has demonstrated that the Father has authorized him to forgive sins by proving it, by healing this paralyzed man. And he's proved that God has accepted his death by raising him from the dead. He has declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection of the dead. Then all of the things that he said are true. And we simply have to place our faith in him and wait. It says, we are not of those that shrink back, but we are those that have faith to the saving of the soul. And this is the question Christ asks when he gives this parable. He says, here is someone that is faithful, that is persistent. He said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And when he comes, shall he find that faith in you? That yes, he died. And just as certainly, he was raised from the dead. And we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. May it be our portion this Easter day. I'm his own. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. Our God, let us know how little we know about you. But when we search the scriptures, we see that every enemy, every challenge was overcome in his life. And therefore, having overcome every obstacle when he was on earth, he has promised to overcome every obstacle in the future. And if he believed him in the first place, he can believe him in the second. We thank you that your Son died for our sins, Father. And we are thankful that you raised him from the dead. Cursed because he hung upon a tree? No, cursed, Father, because of our sins. And now, our God, the curse that was upon us is gone, and we are pronounced blessed. We thank you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. So our God, make us strong in heart, and let us set our hope perfectly on our faith perfectly on the hope that is before us. Come, Lord Jesus, in thy dear name. Amen. Even it open.